Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'll get started in a few minutes.
That's fine. Should probably extract a few more.
Yes.
Or I would hope.
Welcome, everyone. We are not quite at critical mass yet, so we'll give everybody just another minute or two to join. We have three topics on the agenda for today. First is logging, which is an update to the presentation from a few weeks ago. Second is edge automation, Ramkey, and then also with time remaining, we'll review some of the white paper comments that came in over the last few days. Okay. It looks like we've hit critical mass. So I'm going to stop sharing now, and I'm going to turn this over to Michael for logging.
Hi, Chris. Actually, this is a separate scope change. The 148 was for logging spec. This is for Pomba. It's a post-orchestration model-based audit. And I've got John on the line. I posted the wiki.
Oh, great.
So I have a slide that I have a slide back that I can go through just to give an introduction to Pomba. You want to give me a presentation?
Please, just feel free to click the share screen button in the middle of your screen and go for it.
I didn't see it.
Yep.
Okay. You should be seeing something now.
Yes.
All right. Good. Okay. So, Michael, do we need to give any pre-text to this, or just dive in?
Oh yeah, just dive in. It's go over the high level. Yep.
Okay. Cool. Okay. So this is to discuss and propose post-orchestration model-based audit into the logging project for inclusion into ONAP Casablanca. Now, the focus of post-orchestration model, was that a question or no? Okay. So post-orchestration model-based audit is actually addressing auditing of orchestration events, orchestration requests, addressing some data integrity concerns, which is a pain point for operations. What we are doing is really checking whether the design intent, what has been designed for a particular service, is the reality of what was delivered. Now, this is for looking then at what was the initial orchestration, basically looking at from the instantiation of a resource, was that different from the design intent? Was it because of implementation issues or problem with the resource or anything else? And also looking at any changes that happen over time. So looking at what happened to the particular service with regards to change management, self-healing, any changes. Just checking that if the model for a particular service defines it as, you know, A, does it actually show as that in SDNC, ANEI, and all the controllers or all the, you know, ONAP components? And does that then align with what's actually out there in the primary sources, in the network, in the VMs, in the what's living there, kind of creating an auditable, creating an audit that actually produces results for that. Please stop me anytime if you have any questions. Now, the value that we bring with Pomba is we enable the operators then to improve the ONAP automation efficiency. We enable the improvement of manual virtualization efficiency and migration to a NFV orchestration environment. We do that actually by providing this event-driven audit. What do we say event-driven? We are expecting to see an event coming in on the event bus that actually indicates that an audit, that a orchestration request has completed. We will use that event to actually trigger the audit and check the integrity across the NFV orchestration environment, check it with the infrastructure, check it against the data model that has been defined for a particular service. And from that, by having, you know, compared the model to instance artifacts that actually live inside the various components, we actually produce a report. Then the report highlights the discrepancies or anomalies between the model and the instance artifacts. So checking the initial, like I said, checking the initial service type model intent with the service instance artifacts, with the resulted instantiation artifacts in the infrastructure, and against the inventory. So by actually, you know, checking all of these, we kind of validate that what was designed is what is being delivered, and also that at the same time, what has been delivered didn't actually break down at some point, didn't actually get half, let's say, half instantiated, or or the data that, let's say, SDNC is using or ANI is recording is not aligned with the rest of the rest of the system. Now, we have actually, so I'm presenting this now as a feature into that we would like to include as part of the logging project. This is a feature that we have been working on actually inside Amdocs for quite a while now. And we do have a relatively good base to work from. So we have defined an architecture for it, which I'm sharing on my screen now. And we have got the initial release of this actually ready. And that is something that we'd like to upstream immediately into the repository so that we can actually, you know, start collaborating with the rest of the community. Now, in this architecture, and it's fairly small, I guess, but in this architecture diagram, you will see that we are listening to events from the events bus. From those events, we are actually triggering a collection of information from the various contexts, from STC, from ANEI, from whatever context we have for virtual infrastructure, getting all the data into a central location where we actually do the validation against the model rules, and eventually putting them again out into a report. We are using the same that we know from logging, which is the Elasticsearch and Kibana, as Elasticsearch as the database and Kibana as the dashboard. So it is actually quite well aligned with what we've seen already in logging. At a high level flow for this is the high level indication of how this would work. In this case, MSO is actually producing an event which is consumed by the Pompa microservices. Pompa microservices immediately then go look at, you know, this is a service instance ID that we have checked. It goes to the context builders, and the context builders go and actually get the relevant data from the various contexts, so from ANI, from SDNC, from whatever system is out there in ONA world or in the auxiliary, you know, virtual infrastructure world, gets the data, pulls them back into Pomba, where we do the audit process, validation process, and we produce the report. This is at a very high level. In the wiki, you will actually find that we have more detailed flows. And for example, you know, this is the detailed flow for Pomba, which actually you will see that there's a lot more steps involved. But it is in the purest form, it's about getting a request, well, getting an indication that an audit request has completed, taking that service instance ID that has been, you know, completed, going and checking that in all the components. Checking component to component, you know, do the values match? Checking component to model, does the data match to the model? And then producing a report that actually comes back and says, this is, everything looks okay, or everything, you know, this looks partly okay, or there are some anomalies here that you need, you know, somebody should know about. It's not about fixing anything at this stage. It's not about showing making any changes. It's purely about notifying operation that what was run has run and it was successful, or it was not successful, and this is why, you know, what you should actually be looking at. This will help you with troubleshooting. This will help you with ensuring that, you know, for future service designs, everything looks okay.
So John, let me ask a question just to make sure I understand what. So mm-hmm. is the idea here that you're looking for bugs, or you're looking for two questions? Are you looking for bugs? And the second thing is, how do you determine what it is you should be? What is a good result? So in other words, when the SO request comes in, like an instantiate request, the first thing SO does is a decomposition to determine how many instances, and then we go through homing, etc. And then we actually, are you using the output of decomposition as what you're auditing against, or are you redoing decomposition to figure out, you know, well, based upon this instantiation request, here's what I would have expected decomposition to produce, and here's what I would expect to be an ANI, et cetera.
Yeah. So, well, I guess two answers then. So one, are we looking for bugs? And the primary focus is maybe not bugs, but this is definitely something that would be highlighted by the audit process. So when you do run an audit and we do find that, for example, the data that's inside ANI does not match the data that's in SDNC, that would actually probably indicate a bug in the platform that needs to be addressed. Bug in the sense that the data that's in two places should actually match up, but for whatever reason, it's not the same. So that could be could be seen as a bug in the actual system. But it's more about understanding if you design a service in ONAP, if you design a new, let's say, virtual firewall, and for whatever reason, when you go through the instantiation process and you find that what has been instantiated does not match with what was designed, that is an anomaly. That is something that is should not be like that. For example, if you have, if the service design defines that you should have five virtual machines instantiated, and ANI has a record of four, that would be an anomaly. That would be something that would highlight there's something wrong there that needs to be looked at.
So when you say the design, you mean the SD, you're saying that if we have a service type that has a VNF defined in SDC, which always has five VMs, not a variable number of VMs based upon, you know, a small, medium, or large that was requested, or based upon some more complex algorithm. You're saying if there's a deterministic, it must be five, then you can audit. You know the desired state from the model itself.
Yes. And so from the model itself, we should know what is the desired state, yes. From the model, so if the model indicates you should always have two of these, five of these, you should always have a naming convention that looks like, you know, X, Y, Z. You should always have these relationships between VMs or networks, you know, various things that should actually always be the same. We go and audit that, something that is auditable. Of course, if you do have variables in there, you know, for example, you have a medium-sized VNF, that you instantiate and the medium size is five and the large is 10. If we know that data, that is something we will be checking against. Of course, if we don't know that, we can't check.
So would you probe the cloud infrastructure to make sure that the number of VMs that were instantiated matches what's in the cloud infrastructure?
Yeah, so maybe this could be a bit of background. So what we have started building this, and what we built initially was the SDC model, let's say, model context builder, checking the service model and creating a rule out of that. We have also built the rules to actually go, the context builders for ANAI and SDNC to check that data in SDNC matches with data in ANAI, that matches with the model. So kind of these three components.
Yeah, no, I understand,
For Casablanca, for the current sprint that we are hoping, well, that we're kicking off now, we are actually adding the virtual infrastructure. We will be checking what does the OpenStack system say about what it has for this particular VM, and does that match with the rest of the system?
So your starting point would be ANAI? Because ANAI is going to have all, supposedly, right? ANAI is going to have all the resources, right? Or should have all the resources associated with the orchestration of a specific service. So would your audit start with looking at the service instance within ANAI and walk through each and every resource and validate it against a specific target, or how is that going to work?
There's two approaches there. So one is the model is going to tell us you should have this set of resources in the infrastructure. We check that against ANAI. We find that maybe the ANAI matches with that, maybe not. If it doesn't, we flag this anomaly. We then take what's in ANAI, and we go and query the infrastructure to see, you know, are those resources that ANAI says it has, do they actually exist?
One second. Sorry to interrupt you, right? But from an orchestration perspective, right? Mm-hmm. You would orchestrate the VM, and in real time, you would apply the image on top of that VM, right? So are you going to actually go into OpenStack, look at the image, make sure that the image XYZ is actually a database versus the actual firewall, and audit against that, or how are you going to find out what the actual image
is? I understand. So initially we're looking at just validating that the resource itself exists. This is a VM resource regardless of images. So a resource with some CPU, with some memory, etc. That was really what we were looking at initially. We could probably very well expand that to check, does that resource actually have the correct image against it? That's something that would be relatively straightforward to do as well, but we haven't really gone down that path.
I would say, this is Ram, so I would say the cloud validation itself is an elaborate topic, right? This is just, I mean, Shekhar, you brought up some very good starting point. It's much more than that, right? I mean, the associated object, you know, tenant, everything got created.
Exactly. Right, and so we do plan...
It's referred by itself.
So we do plan on looking at specific attributes of the VMs and the Layer 3 network within OpenStack. Yeah. And we will be validating those. And I'm taking some notes on whether the specific image was in the list that we thought we could easily compare to what's in ANNI. So I'll have to double check that. But, you know, we have, you know, we are looking at what's in ANNI, what's in...
I would say
it's a, I mean, it's a whole sort of a workflow by itself, because it may not be, I mean... Yes, the image and then the fact that the VM exists is a great starting point, but it could be that you're creating an OpenStack project or other dependent resources, right? But to make sure, I mean, if you're doing right validation, then you'll be checking all of those, all of the dependent resources.
I just want to
understand one thing. Is this just for OpenStack, or is this for
exactly
cloud?
Well,
exactly.
We seem to be, let's get to the crux of the situation. All this data might be available to you in OpenStack. Again, I kind of doubt you're going to get a free pass at looking at all that in the public cloud.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's where I was going.
I mean, we were hoping to support the multi-VIM interface, and I do have a story as a placeholder for doing that. I'm just not sure that one is particularly ready. Do you have a time frame?
Yeah. But I mean, the public cloud is significant, right? If you're basically basing your architecture on what is possible with OpenStack, it could be totally impossible in AWS or anywhere else, right? Let me give you an example with the OpenStack, right? When you're instantiating when you're doing the instantiation of whatever VM and you're trying to assign an IP address to a port, right? In real time, you may dip into the service provider database and pull an available IP address based on the service provider inventory. My question is, how would you be able to validate that the IP address that you're saying is the actual IP address?
So we don't plan on, you know, optimizing the architecture based on what's in OpenStack. The idea is, you know, over time, and we won't get there in Casablanca, that this will be, you know, a model-driven network discovery plugin that can be used for Pomba and for other things that you'll be able to discover the data from, and then, you know, stitch that together. So we are going to start with specific data sources in this time frame that are a little bit easier to get the data at, so that we can prove the plumbing, etc. And then over time, if we have to supplement that with additional data sources, it'll be extensible to do that.
Yeah.
No, I understand. Yeah. But why wouldn't the approach be... Sorry, I don't mean to hog the questioning, but why wouldn't the approach be, look at the ANAI, look at the service instance for that specific service, and go off and validate each and every resource that is stored in ANAI?
So we're doing a decomposition of taking a service ID and doing a lookup to ANNI to do a service decomposition. And then each of those ones we would be network discovering. And then over time, we may look at the SDNC as well as a source to decompose services, just in case there's one that's an SDNC, but not an ANNI, not in this time frame, but that's where we would like to go. Yeah. So it is a decomposition.
I understand. But I mean, from my point, the point that I'm trying to make is, that anything that you orchestrate through ONAP has to be in an AI. If it's not, then something's wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
But okay. we don't assume a perfect world. And if there was a perfect world, this project may not exist.
Yeah. So. Now, and I think the key here is also that, you know, this is great line of questions and ideas. But of course, you know, what we are, you know, talking about now is, well, what I'm talking about now is really what we've done so far and what I'd like to put in upstream. Of course, you know, we are happy to extend and add functionality so that we can actually build on this. But it's what we have today is what we have, and that's, you know, that's where we're going with it.
I have one more question. Mm-hmm. Are you going to take into account potential operational policies that might say, well, you know, the optimal number of VMs might be 4, but we're willing to live with 3?
Where would these policies come from? Sorry, would they?
I can imagine that, you know, the design might specify, you know, some optimal set of configuration parameters that a VNF supplier might be counting on. But at a given site, an operator may have policies that might override that and say, you know, for us, you know, maybe running in 2 VMs of a given size is probably just as good as what the VNF supplier is telling us.
That is something that we could take into account. Today, we're looking at the rules really coming from the service design. We can definitely look into adding another source of rules, which would be operational rules that would highlight some different set of or more specific set of attributes.
So one more question, just a follow up. Is the intent of this to ultimately be a logging tool or a forensic tool, or what is it that you guys are ultimately looking to position this as?
This is initially targeted as audit. So this is a reporting tool to report anomalies and discrepancies in the orchestration flows. This is a platform tool to validate that the platform is really doing what it should be doing.
Two questions on that, actually. One question is, it's also a little bit like assurance. And I kind of, let's say we've been discussing a little bit how the functionality works. So my question is, from an architectural perspective, are we sure that it makes sense to actually put everything into logging? Because the visualization and the display seems a bit more like assurance, and maybe that should be sort of driven more from DCAE on top of that there. And some of the validation of the orchestration, should that be from logging or should that be from the orchestration?
Yeah.
So exactly. So to me also, I'm tending to think, as I'm understanding this more and more, it seems to be more of a verification type of tool. And I mean, that's the intent. Also, are we also thinking we're going to verify the placement and optimization policy correctness to source, or because those are complex to verify? Is that in scope, or what are you guys thinking? So, you know, you may say, hey, this is a service, and then now I'm placing these VNFs and the corresponding VMs on different clouds based on this policy. Are we thinking of verifying those as part of this?
Again, that is something that we could look at doing. These are not data. This is not data that we have access to currently, just because we haven't looked at it. But it could be another set of rules that we could look into. We do need to, of course, then focus on, you know, is it something that we would like this tool to be doing? Would we like the tool to be looking at that kind of placement rules?
Mm-hmm. So, hey, Steve, just to respond on your question. I definitely agree that, you know, the way that we've been looking at this is really that it's kind of an internal thing. It audits the operation of ONAP, really. So it looks at the various elements, and it makes sure that, you know, the services, first of all, have been instantiated properly, but then in all areas of ONAP, in all elements, but then also it can be called anytime thereafter during the lifetime of a service to make sure that the service is still properly, you know, all the resources of the service are still there in all components of ONAP. So So it's kind of an external tool that should look at ONAP from the outside and make sure that it works properly.
So
put it anywhere within ONAP may not be the right place for it. So this is why we thought maybe logging is kind of external also.
No, but I mean, if you're checking to say that a service has been deployed correctly, which is in principle what you're describing, right? The service has been deployed correctly, the resources are there correctly. It does kind of hit upon the assurance question.
Is the idea that we're looking for inconsistencies in ONAP? How does this tool determine what is the right answer? I mean, or does it not? Does it just say, "Hey, look, I've discovered a discrepancy. SDNC is not consistent with AI. There's something. Okay. So you don't need to do decomposition, right? You don't need to figure out what should be the right answer. You don't need to determine, you know, based upon this instantiation request that came in, that we should have 5 VMs versus 4 VMs.
No.
All you need to do is look in SDNC and say, oh, there's 4 VMs according to SDNC and there's 5 according to ANAI. There's something wrong. Mm-hmm.
There is a future scenario where we can actually look at doing some reconciliation or doing some recommendations, but that's something that we're not there yet.
Figuring out what is the right answer, what should be done, is like the hardest job of ONAP, right? I mean, you know, what should be the I'm afraid that if you try to make that a separate project, you're going to be basically rebuilding ONAP itself and having a voting app where you have two ONAPs built different ways and you have them vote on what the right answer should be.
Or you can have policy-based reconciliation so that it can be tuned to a particular operator's goals. But you know, that's not in this time frame. So,
yeah. But that's the point, right? You know, usually you can do orchestration based on drift management by comparing what the reality is versus what it should be, and that's kind of what you guys are trying to do, or you do it by other means. I mean, doing it twice seems kind of odd because. Even if you do look for VMs, how do you know they're in the right places? Just because I got 4 doesn't mean things are going to work.
Yeah, Alex, it is not supposed to, and from this viewpoint, it's not really assurance, right? And true assurance you need to do in the actual network, and there are other ways to do true assurance. This is why this is not exactly assurance. Yeah, you're right. If the service looks like it is properly instantiated, it doesn't mean that it's working. By the way, the VNFs themselves may not be doing the right thing. So you don't really know, and you're not supposed to know from this tool that the service per se is doing what it's supposed to do.
So what exactly does it do, Yoav? We get it that it's not doing assurance, but I'm still struggling with the original example of the 5 VM expected in ANAI, but still 4 exist. I mean, how can an SO workflow and successfully and have that discrepancy?
It's about data integrity, and that's what's being audited here. So that if there's a difference between, you know, what SDC thinks things should look like, what ANAI thinks things look like, what the network thinks it'll highlight those data.
I understand the technology.
So to answer your question, Ron,
how do we get to those?
I think so it is true that, you know, when everything works fine, then when it is called, Pomba is called immediately after orchestration, it should not find any problems because, you know, just now everything was instantiated, and then since everything works well, it should be okay. So the first usage of this is really for testing. It will take time before everything works properly. And this will be a good tool to find that when things have not been instantiated properly. But this is just initially right after the instantiation. But the thing is that this service exists, you know, during the lifetime of the service. Anybody could ask it to just run, do a kind of a random audit or not so random audit of existing running services to make sure nothing has happened since the orchestration until now that has caused maybe some resource to not be available.
The point over here. I want to go back to Gil's point, right? The only way you need to know what the right answer is in order for you to audit what's in each and every component. And in order for you to understand what the right answer is, you would have to basically re-execute all the templates and all the flows to come up with an outcome that you could compare against.
Yeah, but like Gil said, if we're saying, and I definitely agree that this should be the definition of this project, that it only identifies discrepancies. It doesn't determine what is the right thing. It only finds that NAI has one set of resources assigned to the service, but then SDNC does not have all of them or has more.
Are you including compliance checking into it? So in terms of the actual configuration of VMs and the software that's running there and maybe security, data governance, things like that?
There is a certain, there are features, there are features out there that are being looked at that actually do that. Check, what is the configuration? What is the image? What is the actual configuration of the actual VM that's running there? That is something that we've looked at fitting very nicely into this architecture. So that is on the future scope of things we could be doing that. Yes, we would be validating that the VNF itself is correctly configured and actually fulfilling its functionality. But that's not really where we are today.
So one question. Is there any option for active testing also planned, or because that will give more accurate results, right? Rather than redoing whatever orchestrator or decomposition and all those functionalities, it will be better if we do an automated end-to-end robotic testing.
I'm not sure I understood the comment.
So I meant to say that active testing. So in active testing, once the service is deployed, we emulate a client for the service and initiate a traffic flow to the service and receive the results from the other end.
Yeah. So I think,
but that's a different task.
But it's not. It's not one replaces or the other. It's good to do that, definitely. But it doesn't mean when you do that you're really using all the resources of the service, right? Using some. And this one and this tool will tell you that all the resources are there. Are they working? We don't know, but they're at least there. So you're testing some resources, you're verifying that they are working, and you're verifying that all the other resources are there. And still, it's not 100%.
Be working end to end and not be configured correctly, and you wouldn't notice it until there was a network outage, and that's when you'd find out your redundant path is not.
My concern is that you're going to have a lot of false positives because checking the number of VMs is trivial. What's hard is to make sure that they're configured right.
Well, but that's we're also doing demo.
I think we shouldn't just think about that single scenario, checking VM numbers. That is, of course, one of the scenarios that we're checking, but we're really validating that the whole of the network, the whole of the VNF service type design has been orchestrated in the way that it should have been. So that doesn't mean only VMs, that's everything that's been decided for that particular VNF.
Hey guys, Michael, I guess I'm looking at the sequence diagram for Pamba. Eventually, you want to display this with Kibana, yeah? Is that a red flag that you show there that there's something wrong or what?
Well, I do have a picture here, so let me just go there. So the reporting highlight, all of the results for audit are stored in Elasticsearch. the results are accessible via Kibana. The intent would be that we also have an event published to say that the audit has completed. The actual view will actually be a Kibana view that will show all of the audit requests over time, color-coded. So you would have, you know, blue or black if it's okay, red if it actually shows an anomaly or a discrepancy. You will be able to actually drill down into it and locate a single audit result and actually highlight that to actually identify, you know, what is it that actually was the problem. For example, it's very small in this screen here, but for example, you know, the VF defined in the service model with VFC resources, but there's no VFC resources associated. So that would be a type of report that we could actually give out of this to say the service model said one thing, it said you should have VFCs associated, but you don't have any. So that's a problem. Maybe the VNF is actually working fine, but it is not according to the model. So you should know about that, and we should actually, you know, think of, then go back and say, why did that happen? What is the cause?
So the tooling system, when we move to microservices based architecture, like I believe that you already incorporated FlowMD and other tools, yeah? Or you're planning to do that, correct?
You mean for logging the existing Elk stack? It's using...
Yeah, because there are tools that are available. You're just collecting data, and you are using that data, basically leveraging the existing tool. You're not adding any new tool, correct?
No, yeah. I mean, whether it will be the same Elk stack, these are two different data sets, but the logging transaction data would be complementary to the Pomba data. It would help, it's their own data set.
I don't understand. So you have a whole bunch of data sources in ONAP today, right, that record what happened.
Including
inventory.
There's
including an all, yes, I mean all the goodness that we have, right? All the records. You've got your auditing capability, which is very valuable, right? Especially if you turn it into a full compliance checking tool. But you would dynamically compute what the golden state should be for everything, and then you would compare it against the reality, right? So you would not necessarily keep a separate data set, or would you?
Because things
will change, you know, like at runtime we'll scale things and you know, I mean, there's just a lot of dynamic behavior in the system that you would have to recompute every time.
Well, at every time you choose to do so, every time the service, the Pomba service is called upon for that service, right? So it's a per service thing. But you're right, Alex. This is exactly why it is not enough to run it at right after instantiation time. It's good for testing. I agree with, I think Rani made the comment before. So when Pomba does not find any problems right after instantiation, it will mean that we don't have this type of bugs in the system, which is good. But then, since things are dynamic, there are good reasons to monitor and to keep auditing services throughout their lifetime.
Yeah. Let me be specific here. Can we go back to the SDC example, Michael? Could you go down to your wiki page? You have an SDC example. I want to understand this. You have a service model UII, and then you go into this box. This is a part of your auditing mechanism, correct? And you pull out the data from REST API, and then what would you do with that? Your output, it says common model. What is that common model?
The common model in this time frame, because we were looking at the ONAP common model, and we weren't sure that the timelines were going to line up. So we were going to version an API support here with models and then migrate them to the common model when they're available. And the versioning protects us from that.
Are you collecting data and comparing data with some existing data that you're trying to figure out the delta and issue a flag, like a red flag or what, on Kibana? Because Kibana has to display something, yeah?
Right, so there's context builders for each of the data sources. We're building one for network discovery. There's an A89 one, there's an SDC one. And then the rules engine portion, based on its rules, will generate the report that I'm not the best person to speak to.
So can someone explain the context builder for the first example, which is SDC or ANII? What you input, what you get output, and how would you use the existing tools like Kibana to really display the discrepancy?
I have some draft swagger. If people are interested, I don't know if we want to look at that now, but it's got the inputs to the context builders, as well as the expected response. It's under the Pomba context builders link. So maybe, as I said, I don't know if we want to go through that now, but people can certainly have a look at that. It's trying to formalize the definition of that API.
Is there a tax that each project will have to pay then in order to be part of this?
No, Amul, you need a context builder if you want to be a data source, but I don't, I mean, we're developing one for the network discovery, ANII and SDC. So if someone wants to build a context builder, they can, I guess, would be the answer.
Well, is it Sharon, could you use this simple example and explain the input versus output and the delta, and then how would you use that delta using like Kibana or some other tools?
I can do the bottom part. The Context Builder API is taking a service instance ID, and if you're doing a comparison to SDC, it would take some model version information. And based on that, you're going to return data in a format. And actually, so if we do click on the context builders, let's not do the swagger. There's a pretty picture on the, if you just do context builders.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Okay, that's the swagger, which maybe people don't want to read right now. That's just a picture of swagger. So, but it does define kind of the inputs and the outputs. Go up one level. Sorry, I'm jumping you around. Go up to the parent of this page. And if you scroll down, there's a yellow class diagram. So this is the format of the data that's being returned. It's a REST API, so it'll be in Swagger, and that's what I've been trying to define in the Swagger, which you can read on your, as homework. But this is probably a better way to look at it. In missing from here is there's a list of attributes for reporting additional fields, because we're trying to make this more model driven.
What do you display on Kibana, Sharon? Which data you use to display on Kibana?
That I will ask John or someone else to answer. I don't go past these APIs.
Sorry, say again. What was the question?
So you are using this mechanism to generate some data. That would be like a delta. A delta that you're going to use that data to display on Kibana, and if there is a misbehavior,
there is a middle step here that we didn't really talk about. So one is we have context builders, and these are the ones that go to SDNC, go to ANAI, go to the individual sources of data and get the data, and then put it out in a common format. That common format is key here. Then there is another component, which is a context builder, a context aggregator, that takes all of the contexts that we have for the various components and kind of puts them into a common structure. And in the common structure is only where we can actually start doing the validation. And then we can actually validate that SDNC compares to ANA, ANA compares to virtual infrastructure, and so on. And it's only from there where we actually start having data that we actually put into Elasticsearch. The only thing that goes into Elasticsearch is the results of the audit process. it's not everything that we get out of these APIs. That would be madness. It's really only when we have anything that's a discrepancy where we actually put that into Elasticsearch, and that's only to put in what is the actual anomaly. And the anomaly may be that A doesn't match B, or that A doesn't match the model, or that B is missing, something like that. But that goes into Elasticsearch, and that is what we can display in Kibana.
So in essence, sorry, Praviz. So in essence, I think I'm starting to understand the purpose of this tool. And keep me honest if I'm saying something wrong, right? So in essence, you're not trying to compare. You're not trying to derive the right answer and compare what's in ONAP to what you think the right answer is. You're trying to make sure that there is a referential integrity, the references, all the references within all the data stores do match, and if there is a discrepancy, you're reporting on the discrepancy.
That's correct. And we are comparing that against, so the initial baseline that we have is the service data model. Have you checked
again? This is where I lose you. Sorry, this is where I lose you, right?
So one is we're checking that data in A and AI is matching the data in SDNC. Data in A and AI is matching virtual infrastructure. That is fairly straightforward, and I think everyone can understand that.
Okay.
But we're also validating that whatever the service model wanted us to create, the service model decided that you should create a VNF in such a way, creating ABC and adding and creating five of these, six of these, blah, blah, blah. We are also validating that all of that happened, so that the service model, which we actually is the you know, golden standard of what we should be building, is actually what was built. We are
The point that people are making is that from the service model, you may not know exactly how many of this resource, how many of that resource should be created.
Exactly. And
that's right. Nor do you know the sequence of how these VMs or VNFs should have been created.
The sequence is less important. I
disagree, because if a database has to be created first so that an application server can connect to it, and if it's not created, right?
Yes, so, but they're not checking the configuration yet.
What I'm trying to say, Alex, though, is that there is a recipe that gets executed by SO that tells you the step-by-step process of how you should orchestrate that service. And that said, that recipe is critical.
Yeah.
Well, correct. It's critical to
and we are validating that recipe is being executed. Remember, we are an audit tool. We're not an execution tool. So we are, but whatever somebody is telling SO to do, we go and validate, did that happen?
But my point is, in order for you to do that, so you would have to be able to execute the recipe that SO executes.
But why are you saying that the order is important?
Because the order is
only important for the instantiation and for configuration of individual components. But what these guys are doing is checking the end state. They're not checking the database got created first. Why? Who cares?
But let me give you an example. Right? I'll tell you why, right? If you check in, if you're using the audit to make sure that the service is up and running, if you create the app server before you create the database server and they can connect to one another, the audit will come back with a positive result, and yet the service is not working.
Yeah, this is not an assurance tool by any means.
But we're providing information that you'll go, okay, it's configured correctly. Let me look at other issues that could be impacting the service.
Right. Well, so you're not providing okay, let's be very clear here. If you want to provide configuration information, then the ordering might matter. Still not convinced it matters all the time. But if all you're going to say is, you know, four VMs were created and you were supposed to create six, well, that's a very coarse-grained kind of test. You know, lots of reasons why that wasn't true, maybe.
Right. But I mean, if things are defined in models, then we, you know, we start by being able to audit everything that's in the model. If there's more specific stuff that's not model driven, over time, as things become more model driven, we'll be able to audit those as well.
But, yeah, the hierarchy, like the readiness should be in the model. Like if the database is not ready, then the consumers of the database.
So your assumption is that there is a shared state model somewhere that is exposed that you can tap into, right? You're clearly not going to be able to tap into individual tools and then private data models.
My assumption is that there is value in auditing against the current information that is within the model, as well as comparing, you know, data in ANI versus what's in the network. And then over time, as additional, as we understand what has value and more things are available, then we can build on this. But we have to start somewhere. So even though if in Casablanca we can't do the world's best audit ever, you know, we get started, we find a certain number of problems, and then we build on that success.
Hey, Sharon, I put a link into the chat box on auditing. Maybe you should have a look at that for a follow-up call, okay?
Okay. So we're going to have to start wrapping this up. I'd like to turn this back to the Pomba team. If there are any other things that you want to present or go through before we wrap up.
No, I think we've probably gone through most of this. I just wanted to give a highlight of what the actual feature is. Of course, the kind of intent here is to highlight it as, you know, this is the feature that we're working on. We would like to put it into the community as a, you know, both as code for others to use and to collaborate. We do need to find, you know, the right place to actually put this in. There is a reason that we're actually talking in this forum about logging. And the reason is that basically the team that has been working on logging is the same team that has been working on this feature. That's number one. There's also the fact that both of these features are, I would consider them as platform features. They actually focus on the same thing. There is, of course, you know, we can debate putting it into other components. The issue there is they may not, there's no one component that this feature actually belongs under, because we are actually reaching out to all of them. So that is really, you know, that was why we wanted to present this to you. And I'm hoping that we can have a follow-up discussion how we can move this forward, how we can, you know, so that we don't delay getting the community involved.
Sure. So I think you've heard a lot of feedback from the team on today's call. If you want to go back and address some of that, just let me know and I'll be happy to put you back on the agenda.
Okay. Thank you.
So, hey, Chris. We were chatting on options and you raised you have an opinion that maybe it should be a separate project.
Yes, from my perspective, it's looking like the scope is different enough from logging, and touches on enough different components that it may make sense to have it separated out in its own project. Partly for scope management, partly for project management as we go through the release. So, you know, just my two cents on this. And I think Steve has been weighing in on that as well.
Okay. Yeah, I was kind of going the other way, where it looks more like a use case that has impacts on other components.
Yeah. And I think this also all comes down to, I know it's, you know, we're a bit late here, but we do want to make sure we, you know, we get the community's benefit and the community benefits from what we've done in the Casablanca timeframe. And getting new features in, new projects raised, seems to be really, really difficult. So even if we could actually look at possibly having this as a placeholder under logging for now or under any other project, that might actually help.
So one other thing just to consider, there's effort underway to build a quote unquote, the runtime kind of data model for the platform. Ideally, that's the data model that you would consider using, right? To validate against your assertions of what is true. So it would be good to maybe explore some synergies there between those projects.
That's true.
Likewise, on the cloud front also, there is modeling work happening in the modeling committee. Wanted to bring to your attention. And I mean, just to me, this seems to be, I'm tending to think more like an end-to-end use case for something around service verification, at least.
Well, it's not really a use case. So Steve also made the same comment. It cannot be a use case because there is a lot of code involved here. And also,
what I meant was the use case for driving to be clear, how to bucket it. I'm not saying it's about, definitely there is a lot of code, but it has got multi-project impact yeah, across guys, all.
The no, no, guys, actually guys, not so much. I mean, the whole idea is that projects are doing what they're doing, and then something comes from the outside and looks at the end result and makes an assertion whether everything seems to be at least coherent among the ONAP components or not. So from this viewpoint, the whole idea is that the ONAP component should not know about this tool and should not work any differently because of this tool. The result that this tool provides will help those components to do things right and to fix bugs.
I would say it's not completely independent, right? Because A and AI, you need to know basically you are in sync with the project on what A and AI databases or optimization policies or other type of policies, right? You have to be in sync with project. I'm not sure it's completely Pomba. Independent, right?
It's not that because of Pomba, A and AI should do anything differently. NAI is doing what it's doing, and then Pomba is going and looking at what NAI did, and they find problems.
You could maybe positioning this as a configuration checker or a compliance checking tool is better than anything, right? Just list out the capabilities you have and keep building on them with each release. This is, mm-hmm. I have to say, this is not new, right? This you know, tools like these have existed for years. So we need one for ONAP, and it's just a matter of how fast we grow the capabilities.
Exactly. It's a highly dynamic, complex system. That there will be bugs. There will be things that will not work according to what any component thinks it worked by. So it's vital to have a tool that looks at the end result and can do it independently of any operation that ONAP is doing, and provide the report on. You know how it looks as the end.
It's more than tooling. I guess we need to wrap this up. It's more than the tooling that is available. It's more like what kind of data is meaningful for ONAP to fit into the tool. Okay, so that is the follow up discussion, I guess.
So I think what we're hearing is that there's interest in this functionality. But it needs to be crisped up a little bit in terms of what's going to be delivered in the Casablanca timeframe the organization of it. We'll push that back to the Pomba team to take a look. Okay. And you're welcome to come back here whenever you're ready.
Okay, so we'll do that. Hopefully when we come back, we will have a discussion as to where we can actually place this, because it becomes critical that we need a placeholder for this so that, like I said, so that we can actually work with the community on delivery. Okay, sounds good.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, guys.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, so next I'd like to turn this over to Ramke to talk about edge automation.
Chris, so sorry, we've still been deeper discussions. I would say next week would be ideal. I think I sent a note yesterday.
Oh, sorry, I haven't seen it. Okay, so if you want to push off, then I'd like to move on. And let me bring up some of the comments that many of you have shared on the white paper. I want to see if we can get some of these comments resolved. There were a number of comments, and I think that was great that everybody took a look at this over the weekend, so I really appreciate it. And I want to make sure that we measure consensus on this.
Hi, Chris, on this topic, actually, when we did this for Amsterdam, we said in Beijing it wouldn't be a rush job, but it's come as a rush job again. And so for Casablanca, can we already sort of maybe sort of put something in the agenda, in the calendar planning for this?
Yes, I'll talk to Lisa about this, and we'll make sure that we get this done earlier in the process, probably closer to M4.
But let's put it on Gildas's map.
Yeah, there you go. So I'll talk with them about that and get this scheduled. I just got it back from
I'm not sort of sharing the blame. I'm not sort of pointing the finger, but I mean, just for improvement's sake.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me bring this up. So there were several of these. This is the wrong one. Let me hold on 1 second. Okay, can everybody see this? This is the V2 Ramki Shankar Srini Steve Bharath version.
I can see it, Chris.
Okay, great. So I'm going to go through this. There are a few versions we need to go through. Please ignore any copy editing that you might see, but if there are any substantial changes, or anything that you have heartburn with, please raise that here. I want to see where we have consensus and where we may not, so that we can flag things appropriately. Let me go down. Here's the first substantive change, and this is flagging in the new version that we're leveraging cloud-native technologies, including Kubernetes, to manage and rapidly deploy ONAP platform and related components. Any issue with that statement? Okay. Let's go on down. Okay, the next one, Steve, you want to change the figure to say ONAP platform components with projects?
Yeah. It's just that to avoid confusion. I mean, that's what we labeled that one as anyway. So that
was, yes.
It's kind of just.
Is this the latest architecture diagram?
Yes.
I have to.
Yes, okay. This is the approved one from the TSC from, what was it, March?
Okay.
Next is the OOM section, which is new to this version. It's about a paragraph, it was mostly copied from OOM's wiki. So as a cloud-native application that consists of numerous services, ONAP requires sophisticated initial deployments as well as post-deployment management. The ONAP Operations Manager component is responsible for orchestrating the end-to-end lifecycle management and monitoring of ONAP components. OOM uses Kubernetes to provide CPU efficiency and platform deployment. In addition, OOM helps enhance ONAP platform maturity by providing scalability and resiliency enhancements. Any issues?
Is it really a cloud native component?
Yes.
Perhaps we should be less ambitious and just say it's a component of ONAP that manages the rest of ONAP or something along those lines. I'm not quite sure if we can claim cloud nativeness just yet.
Sure it is. What does cloud native mean? There's no best definition. We're a lot more flexible with wording throughout the document than here. But Chris, I do have one comment. I sent a new link for the read the docs, so the link is still there.
Okay. Let me add a comment. Not everything was cumulative, so there are a couple of different versions of this. So let me just add this. There we go.
Yeah, I sent you an email, or it's in the architecture list, the email, the link.
Perfect.
So we also use Helm in addition to Kubernetes. Do you want to change that to Helm/Kubernetes, or it's fine either way, I guess.
Okay. Is that good?
Yep, seems fine to me.
Okay. Any other issues on this section? This is one of the bigger changes that we made. Okay, so moving on, minor changes within portal. Minor changes in design time, and then we go to runtime. We have just a few additions here, and the highlight here is that we called out the addition of music and external API. Any concerns with this section?
One minor suggestion, Chris. I mean, can you say multivim/cloud to be consistent? I mean, everywhere that's the name for the project, yeah.
And capitalized VIM, please.
Oh, yeah. Good one. Yeah.
Okay. And then there's a paragraph here about external API providing access for MEF and TM form frameworks and potentially others. So we wanted to touch on the work that we're doing with MEF and TMF without excluding anything else down the road and then bringing that in through external API.
Okay. Chris, the support for music is 100%, yeah, correct?
What do you mean? Not every component uses it, but it's part of the platform.
Yeah, okay. Chris, the only components that actually use it now are Portal and OOF.
Yeah.
So I think there was a mention about, there's a section about HAS, it's kind of a separate.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'll get that cleaned up, but.
And minor nit on policy, capital P, very much, yeah. So just to be consistent, every. Yeah.
Where, in which section?
ONAP in you're listing all the projects, right? Multivim Cloud, ONAP optimization framework and policy, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
One point on the external API, Chris.
Yes.
The external API, is there any mention that the other provider doesn't have to be ONAP? We need to have a sentence there.
We didn't go very far with that. We just said that we were providing MEF and TMF frameworks into ONAP because this is what we have in Beijing.
Yeah, but the clarification, we don't need that the other provider doesn't have to be an ONAP provider, yeah?
Well, we don't have the full federation yet. That's future.
Yeah, the interlude is not part of, is actually not part of Beijing, right? We only did Legato, which is the BSS OSS, in the same provider down to ONAP.
Well, Andy, you're happy with this, okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yes.
No, I deleted security framework because we don't, I mean, that was, it's not really there. Of course, we have security, but not our security framework as such, as a functional architecture.
Yeah, okay.
So Chris, on policy-driven workload placement, so I think we've come to terminology alignment whereby we use the term homing to refer to selecting a cloud instance, and that's what OOF does, and we refer to placement as and scheduling as choosing specific compute hosts on which to run a workload. I think should we replace do what you well, yeah can we do what you just did, Chris? Also further down workload where it says AKA homing, just get rid of the placement scheduling, because I don't think they're synonymous.
Okay.
But that is essentially the function we're trying to deliver, right? And I mean, this is also an externally visible paper, right? I don't know if people will understand the word homing, but though we are trying to do placement and scheduling, I mean, this is more outside than internal ONAP, right? Of course, ONAP folks understand homing, but at least externally, people then will start to, I mean, at least trying to interpret what homing is versus if you say placement scheduling.
We define it.
Hey, I would say scheduling is a stretch. Don't use that term. It has a lot of connotations in the cloud space. But Ramki, as you know,
at least placement, right? At least you should say workload placement then, minimally. I AKA homing intern.
I would say dynamic resource sharing and placement would be a good way to kind of couch what we're doing.
So is that like an industry term? Is that why we're saying that, Alex?
Yes. Yeah. So scheduling has to do with other resource sharing activities where you schedule resource deployment in advance at some future time, or you have deadline-driven scheduling of resources. So it's a little bit different than what we do in ONAP.
No, this is regarding scheduling, but placement, isn't placement the choice of a specific physical server to run the workload?
Well, that's what I mean. I wouldn't use the scheduling term. I would simply say we're doing dynamic resource placement, policy-driven, rule-based. That's what I would say.
Yeah, but I'm asking about placement.
So you have to be clear, right? I mean, there are two levels. Like, placement is like the final server choice is one level in the hierarchy. It's a cloud, in the cloud. But outside of that, here what OAuth is coming and solving the problem is finding the cloud itself rather than statically determining, hey, choosing a cloud. Exactly. Through which, exactly. What we're really saying is dynamically choosing the cloud, right? That's where, I mean, and the scheduling comes, like, I agree. I mean, it's not right now, but later comes when you actually move workloads around. You're not nailing it to a cloud, right? The placement means you've nailed it.
So let me just tell me. So is this section supposed to be about what OOF does or about what ONAP does or what ONAP we want ONAP to do in the
this
future?
This is about what it does today.
OOF, right?
Yeah.
OOF. Because OOF does, yeah. OOF does not do placement today, Ramki, right? It does.
Cloud. No. So that this is exactly. I understand homing is like a ONAP term, right? Basically the idea is like trying to explain it to an external audience what it really means. Or
can we define it? Can we define what it is? Can we say homing, cloud instance selection?
Yeah.
Cloud instance selection would be okay. Yeah. Also known as homing, something like that, but not just.
No, but you can say it's cloud and resource instance selection based on policies and rules, and sure. that's what OOF does.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you're saying resource because of the HPA, right? We're picking the cloud instance based upon the resources or the capabilities of that cloud exposes.
Yeah, and we might start with HPA, but I have a feeling we're going to do more there, so. Would be good to mention.
I would say it's good to actually put it out there in the title itself because it becomes obvious for the readers, because again, this is the external nature of the doc, more external nature of the document.
I was going to say, I think I agree with Ramki. I think the point about the fact that this is for an external audience means that when we have we should, on balance, go with something that's more intuitive, and placement would be the only term that would be universally understood. So I still don't like
the home. Understood as what? Tell me, give me the definition that would be universally understood by placement. Picking a compute host or picking a cloud instance?
You're choosing
what location. What it means is that the general area of optimally choosing will be understood, whereas homing won't be. Homing has particular connotations in other network use cases as well. So it's just a balance scale between the terminology. We could be very accurate in terms of what it doesn't do, and mostly in what terms it doesn't do, and it won't actually present it in the best possible light. So for me, placement optimization would work. I've no better than homing, even though I know you're right, Gil, that homing is specifically the right term for this release.
Well, is it just for this release? I guess that's really where I'm going with this. Do we envision that ONAP itself is going to be picking compute hosts for Azure? Obviously not, right?
Good point. Yeah, I get where you're coming from now, that you're saying that the longer term placement policy and the placement optimization can be offloaded or
It's not OOF, right? I mean, it's not certainly.
What about split the difference and use the term optimization, workload optimization, even though that's a bit more aspirational, so it's a little bit more.
Well, I would say then resource optimization, right? Because we're not doing service optimization just yet.
And then that goes into optimization framework being the project.
Yeah. The real reason I piped in was I wanted to ask Chris another question, because I actually sent a first version on Friday, but I don't think anyone incorporated those changes in. Ramke forked another version. So, yeah. Chris, I don't know.
I'll pull that up too.
Okay, cool. I get a chance to push some diagram changes. All right, cool.
Yeah, there are about three different versions that have shown up with separate forks. This one had most of the changes, so I want to start here.
Perfect, gotcha.
Also look at some of the other ones.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Okay, so what do we... where do we end up on this? Policy-driven resource optimization?
I think you want to qualify that a little bit, right? And so I understand Gil's point of view that, you know, we're in some cases, there's some level of delegation, but we're still making choices, at least in, you know, first-order choices, even with Azure, because if there are multiple instances of Azure, it would be ONAP making a decision in terms of which one to use.
Exactly.
So to me, you're still talking about policy-driven resource optimization and placement maybe is the way to go, right? You know, I just want to make sure that that it's not just optimization, right? There are actions that we take in terms of placement as well.
Well, okay.
My only reaction would be maybe the same. I mean, the optimization should be absolutely brought inside the paragraph, but as a title, I mean, resource placement sort of at least sends the message. I mean, basically, I'm just trying to be between the architecture and technical marketing, right? When people read this, right, what do they get? Is the message stick into their head on what ONAP is trying to do. I'm trying to address that. That's all I'm trying to look at.
Right. I think whenever there is a terminology discussion that lasts this long, I think there's an architectural question behind it. So in my mind, the reason we came up with two words, and to me, it's fine for ONAP to drive terminology for the industry. We differentiate between homing and placement because we saw them as two different things that could be performed by two different players. Right, and they should be thought of separately. So homing is clearly, picking a cloud instance is clearly what we want ONAP to do as part of the ONAP function. Placement is defined in terms of picking a compute host. It's not obvious to me that that's something that we should have ONAP do.
But Gil, look at it this way. even if ONAP, the fact that you can offload it to a public cloud, see that as the advantage of ONAP. Because again, it's about the capability of ONAP rather than who's doing it. ONAP is pulling the strings to delegate it to that. I still think on balance, workload optimization was the split between technically accurate and aspirationally marketing.
Well, because for instance, Kubernetes, right, is going to, I mean, so if Kubernetes were to move a workload from one compute host to another, would ONAP know or need to know or care? If ONAP had provided SLAs to Kubernetes and said, here is the service, you know, whatever, here are the service SLAs we require.
Yeah, well, it's use case specific, right? And depends on what we want to support. If you want to support proximity or affinity and anti-affinity based on CPU to storage proximity, yeah, we would have to know.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. We would, depending upon our HPA requirements to the cloud.
Well, not even HPA. I mean, there's a ton of use cases where you have, you want to co-locate CPU and compute and storage resources because of latency, because of IO latency.
That's right.
For VNFs that store state, this is going to be paramount.
That's right.
We just don't have those cloud native VNFs yet, but they're coming.
That's right. So is that a requirement that one gives to the cloud provider and says, hey, look, you know, you need to make sure that you have affinity requirements across, you know, compute and storage or latency requirements, or however you want to.
Well, you know, the best we can do is work with the cloud providers that want to be badged as certified for ONAP, which might be a good incentive for them, to figure out if we can inject additional policies into their infrastructure, right? Or exchange policies that allow us to say, hey, this is what we need you to do. These are your marching orders in addition to what we've done already.
That's right. So I'm thinking in terms of a separation of concerns. How do you solve these problems and maintain separation concerns? One way you could do it is you could have ONAP make the whole decision. You could have ONAP inventory the fabric, you know, the fabric topology, all the compute hosts, and ask the cloud provider to share all that with ONAP, and ONAP would actually do the placement. Or you could delegate that to a trusted cloud provider.
So Gil, this is the crux of it, right? And this is where I think we need to think some more, right, in the long run of where we want to go. You typically have two areas of concern. There's service optimization and resource optimization.
Yep.
By giving away control of the resources to another cloud, you've kind of given up control over that, but you will need it for some of the other use cases that are coming. And so the question is, do we want to give it away all the time, or do we want to just give it away some part of the time and be very careful about what we do where, right? You know, what degree of control is required?
Right
now we've kind of gone, the pendulum has swung off to, you know, far right, where we say, we don't want to know anything about resources. We just want to request one. But guess what? The hypervisors that will do, hello, somebody turn off the lawnmower. There are hypervisors that will do all sorts of crazy stuff under the hood, and cloud providers that will do. So maybe for now we can talk about service optimization or workload optimization and qualify it and say these are the two things we do today. You know, you know, policy-driven choice of cloud providers and policy-driven choice of compute pools or flavors or, you know, something along those lines.
So I agree. So there really is an architectural question in your discussion. And in order to have that discussion fruitfully, we're going to have our terminology be precise and crisp. So I think the term homing, to distinguish it from placement, to use those two terms is a valuable distinction that we ought to leave the industry in. And we ought to define it and not be afraid to use it, because the industry isn't there yet. I mean,
Gil, I believe a perfect example of placement would be SRIOV, right? Mm-hmm. So when ONAP makes a request for an SRIOV resource or resources, it really doesn't know, nor does it care where these resources are. It's going to leave it up to the cloud infrastructure to decide where to host that VM that has an SRIOV resource. Right.
I think to Alex's point, there's different ways you could architect this by trying to maintain a strict separation of concerns. I don't want to know about your topology, but that might be a dead end. maybe not. I don't know. But it's a discussion we need to have. But
I think it's a discussion definitely we need to have. Right. But I want to make sure that we don't go down a path where ONAP would need to understand where all the resources are. Because you want to leave it up to the cloud provider to optimize their own infrastructure in terms of the resource allocation.
By doing that, you've given up any control over what they might do with those resources and how they may choose to solve their problems.
Yeah. You have no control over how where AWS is going to assign VMs.
So let's take a step back. So what we need to do here is define what already exists in Beijing that's going to market and how do we communicate this to an external audience. So this is more along the lines of a marketing document than a leading architecture document that we would use internally.
From that perspective, what we need to emphasize here is the value. What's the value for the reader? Mm-hmm. It's not that it's policy driven. It's not that we're doing homing or whatever it is. Is we're optimizing the execution of DNFs. So how can we, in a simple way statement, say that?
If it's marketing, then it's got to be cognitive and artificially intelligent, and at least, you know, with some dose of policy thrown in. I mean, if you really just want to make a big splash, just talk about the intent and don't worry about the truth too much, right? Because, you know, stake out your territory.
Well, we want to be accurate for what exists in Beijing.
All right. So, you know, I think people have said it, right? Service optimization or workload optimization, policy-driven resource homing and placement and allocation. Call it that.
I think it was policy-driven workload optimization, and the point that Gil made on the placement, it's probably not the right document to make that point. And it's not. And again, this is an important document. We want to make it attractive, but you know, there's very little marketing guff in here, right? It still holds true to what was done, so.
Right.
It's just the magic words, and the fewer the better. That's what we're looking for.
And I would say remove, given that the external focus, let's remove the word homing service, policy-driven workload optimization. Just keep it simple for this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's move on. Thank you. This was a good discussion, but let's see what else there is. And then we have a couple of other documents as well that I'll bring up. Controllers is pretty minor, just adding multi-VIM, multi-cloud. This didn't change. Let's see, use cases.
Chris, this is Srini here. Under common services, we wanted to some of the changes last year. After access control, we also wanted to put secret management. There is something which got added in Beijing, so we just want to make sure that it is represented there. Common data layer, access control, secret management.
I think that's fine. Just one question: should we say secrets management or should we say credential management?
I think both. Maybe we should say both. Secret and credential.
If you're not into security, you might not understand secret. But credentials is pretty well known.
Okay. That's true, but the secrets are much more than credentials.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else on this page?
Just note, Chris, the changes I was making was in reaction to that we don't want to say, hey, it's all just about the use cases. It's really about the platform at the end of the day. So that's what I was trying to do on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any concerns? Okay, let's scroll forward. So
Is music under common services? Like the text that we mentioned in music should now be moved down?
We put it under the runtime framework, I think.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that the first pass that we had a section for common. It's down at the bottom.
Yeah.
Technically, in terms of the way it's organized, it's kind of put into that sub-block in the architecture diagram. Actually, that was another question is, we don't like these sections should follow from the architecture, but obviously it's a simplified. So
yeah,
should we have a, should we annotate that architecture diagram with the numbers?
Yeah. Music was pulled out of the common, right? So it's just in a couple components. It's not really a common yet, but it
right.
will be.
Yeah, that's probably more of a Casablanca where we have it as a service.
Right then now, I think it's fine then as it is, Chris. We should just leave it as it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the reason, Bharat speaking here, and that's the reason why I didn't push it into the common services and I left it where it was. So.
Yeah. Chris, can we go down to DCAE section?
Let's see. Yeah.
No, this is more than closed loop operation, yeah?
Well, here's the paragraph on DCAE. Do you have an issue?
Where is this? Yeah, we need to beef up this section, yeah? Or this is, who is the audience for this paper? Marketing guys?
It's external. It'll be published as marketing and collateral going around the release. And technical people will look at this when they're considering the Beijing release to know whether they want to download it into their labs.
Don't we need to at least show a picture of this DCAE, the significance of the data collection, something more than this? This is very brief.
Well, we tried to keep the overall document pretty short, under 10 pages, and it's showing 15 now with all the edits. But when we publish it, it'll be around 10 pages. So that was part of the reason. Most projects only get about a paragraph.
So if you are happy with this, that's fine. But most of the key elements are missing in this description. Maybe we don't need that, yeah? Like, do we have any notion of like, we can do real-time data processing or not? Can we do like something else? For example, a multi-layer closed loop operation. Those are the key feature of the ONAP, yeah?
Well, we talk about closed loop. You know, that whole section is right there. So there's a big page on it.
But in reality, closed loop is very limited, right? It's not even a generic capability today.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not talking about closed loop. I'm talking about the whole DCAE. Closed loop is only a small part of it.
I tell you what, why don't we leave it like this for now, since we're pretty late in the release. I know you're adding capabilities. In the Casablanca timeframe, why don't we beef it up based on that?
Okay. I just wanted to bring this up. Okay.
Okay. Anything else in this version? Otherwise, I'll flip over to some of the other ones. No? Okay. Let me bring up Lingley's. Oops. Sorry, wrong one. see. Oh, this is Paul. I think we cover most of those. Okay, so this one had one extra section that I wanted to look at. Let's see, this is Deng Hui's. This is the modeling section.
Let's review this first, yeah?
Yeah.
Is it... So I need somebody who knows better than I. The picture makes it look like only SOUUI and MOLT and VFC receive a direct distribution from SDC and not ANAI or APC or et cetera. Is that true? I don't know the answer. That's why I'm asking.
I thought that the SDNC used to be in the loop. I don't know. It was removed. That's Gil, that's a good question. What happened to SDNC?
It's over here. It's not in that same flow according to the resource modeling.
Yeah, but so, in the first release, STC and SDNC, they were directly talk in Beijing. SO is sitting in between now.
Yeah. Well, this is talking about the CSAR files, the VNF CSAR files, and the distribution of those, as opposed
we can't
to
put a question mark.
As opposed to heat-based VNFs. So I think that's the distinction that's trying to be made in this diagram, between the heat and the Tosca. Yeah.
If it's accurate, it's okay. Architecturally, this looks good. But in reality, it could be some gap. Yeah? We don't care about the code, yeah? What we do.
Well, is this saying that the distribution event of CSO files does not reach the controllers, for instance, or NAI?
That's what it seems to be saying, which didn't sound right. I thought ANAI for sure got it, and I thought APC did as well.
Yeah, I mean, it gets put on DMAP, and then, you know, whoever registers to get this event gets it, and I think they all do.
Chris, when is the deadline for this?
Tomorrow. So we need all the comments in now. So that we can resolve them, because LF has to go to publication by tomorrow.
I see.
Yeah. Let's see. Modeling subcommittee provides resource.
Well, one typo on the architecture diagram, the multi-VIM is capitalized. It should be capitalized. The picture itself.
Okay, so do we want to just take out the picture? Because I think that's raising confusion rather than clarifying.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea.
Okay.
And also many blue items here, they are for Casablanca, right? In Beijing release, they were not made into. Like this SOL001 ATSI IFA 11.
Yeah.
They couldn't make it in Beijing. So
we take that out. And then you'd want, let's see, this is Beijing. This is what they've put in for Beijing. At least from the modeling perspective, not that it's been implemented in all the components.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is there any mention of which kind of model we are talking about or no?
Yes.
You don't care.
Yeah, it talks about the information model and the data model. And it talks about where they came from.
Again, this information model is more like a service model, no? I'm missing something here. I thought that was service model, not real information model.
It's based on iPhone 11.
Seems like a modeling committee status.
Yeah.
Right? More than actually it is whether what is, I thought this is white paper for Beijing release, right? What we have in Beijing release.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, Chris, I'm trying to be accurate here. When you say IAM information model, is that really IAM? I don't think so.
Let me ask Alex and Andy, who are participating on this. I don't see anyone else from modeling. Anyone else from the modeling committee who wants to answer Parviz's question?
Say that again, Parviz.
Okay, Alex, information model is something like UML, yeah? Which is totally at abstract level. I thought that today, all the tools that are available at STC, the outcome of the modeling subcommittee, is more like data model with some sort of service oriented model. It's not the app. Yeah. So it's not information model.
It's not. We should be talking about data models when it comes to implementation.
Okay. Chris, could you reflect that, please?
So how would you like me to write this up, Alex? About the modeling subcommittee, what we did based on IFA 11, if we're not going to call it an IAM.
So what I would say is that we have, so it's not that the modeling subcommittee provides a resource model or whatever. It's really that in Beijing release, ONAP supports an ETSI NFV IFA 11 and Sol 001 compliant data model. And we need to qualify, you know, supports the following. Okay, well, I would say the following models then, and you could say an information model based on whatever the IFA is, and you should say 242.
So it's not 231, it's 242?
Yeah. And a VNF descriptor model based on Tosca, as defined in ETSI NFV Sol 001 version 0.6.
Yeah, okay.
That should be good enough.
Okay.
And I would say that it's not a VNFS, it's a VNF.
Yeah, sorry, typo.
Yeah, and it's the same thing above, right? A VNF information model based on, you know, the IFA. That's it.
Okay.
Chris, do you want to mention the Sol 004 as well in this?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so another piece. Then third bullet item. I see a package, a VNF package format based on ETSI NFV Sol 04 specification. And somebody, I don't remember the version, unfortunately. I think it's 2 something or other, but I'm not sure.
There's something you don't know, Alex. Well,
okay.
I know, it's shocking, isn't it?
You want me to answer that?
Great. Anything else on the modeling section? Okay. Let me pause this for a minute while I flip over.
There was another section before this as well that was quite
I think this is the Denghui section. I'll have to pull up the Lingli document as well.
Oh, okay. I went for the Lingli document.
Yeah, these are pretty minor other than that. It follows what we already reviewed.
Sorry, Chris, I can't see as you're going up and down. Is the microservices section still in here?
That's in Lingli's document.
Yeah, I'll pull that up in just a second.
Okay. Anyone looking at Beijing would say that we don't really have microservices. So could we, I mean, like, come on. People are going to look at this and they're going to laugh. I mean, it's, you know, it's okay to claim that you can, you know, you're working towards curing cancer, but to say that you've done it is kind of irrational, right? So
are you talking about this, Alex?
This right Alex, here?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, this is feeling like Casablanca to me, especially where they talk about Istio and
Prometheus.
There's
nothing in Beijing. So what we have in Beijing is a bunch of functional management components, right, that are all managed through OOM. That's what we have. There's a bus. There's a bus for integration and interconnection of those components, but that's about it. I wouldn't call them microservices yet. I mean, like, you know, it's a 7 million line microservice.
No, there are microservices. In ONAP for sure. I don't think this section belongs in a Beijing document.
I actually don't think that saying that it's microservice based on something else really doesn't add any value in terms of a marketing collateral, right? It's more of how we've implemented it as opposed to what business outcomes are we able to achieve and enable from an operator perspective based on the features we have.
Okay.
Another thing, Chris, is we introduced the term OMSA, which is, maybe I missed a meeting or two, but it's new to me.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that more widely, right. Microservices architecture. So what I'm hearing is let's take this out for the Beijing timeframe and we can consider it again for Casablanca. When some of this might actually be implemented.
Just another note when we come forward, Chris, just another note coming forward. In the picture, it also brings up the external API gateway in such a way that it appears to me conflicting with the external API gateway.
Yeah.
So I think there's still obviously work to do to come back on that terminology for this topic. Something scheduled throughout the year.
Yeah. So we'll defer this whole section.
But there are the last two paragraphs. They are relevant, I think. I was just glancing through that. Yeah.
Except for OMSA.
Yeah.
No. The last two.
Yeah, but the last two paragraphs has OMSA.
No. You can remove that. That's no.
Well, and the whole thing about Istio also is Casablanca.
Okay. Then
I would say let's get rid of it. I don't think it's adding a whole lot otherwise. Okay.
And then the closed loop is completely... Well, let's actually... If you go up to chapter 6. Because actually this picture here is not... It's kind of more a lifecycle picture than the closed loop picture, but was put on the closed loop picture, and then this is trying to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, actually, describe closed loop, which might be a good thing. I haven't read it in detail.
The text looks like it's the same as what was removed.
There is a nice picture, Chris, on the wiki page on the DCAE. Maybe we should use that.
I'll look into that afterwards. I don't want to get too many changes this late in But I'll take a look at it. And let me bring up the last one, Kevin's.
Yeah.
Okay. And Kevin, do you want to talk through the major changes? It was the diagrams, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Three
right,
sections.
Right here. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what. So on Friday, I saw the thing and I just thought maybe it might be good to have a diagram just showing the architectural progress from Amsterdam to Beijing. So this was my attempt to capture it with just not everything, but just the four things that were kind of highlighted. So that turned out to be the external API, which I think is very important.
Yeah.
Boom. The common services, what I thought were common services, music, OOF, and then tying in the modeling stuff that Ding Hui had put into a separate white paper. So it ended up with that 1, 2, 3, 4. And the background there is a kind of simplified diagram of the ONAP runtime, which corresponds to the sections that we had in the document. So that was the thinking there. And just literally have it right after the overview section. Again, I think some of what I put into this draft, we've kind of covered on this call. For example, like the information model that we said. So rather than going into the details of the Etsy Sol specifics, I just mentioned that's really what we're doing. We're harmonizing this. And that is true. That is what we did in this release. And it's very hard to actually kind of support it. So in this document, it should be okay to mention that we are doing that work. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned Etsy, Teamform SID, ONF, Tosca. That's a typo. That should be ITF and MEF.
I'll have to edit that later. Okay. So what do people think of the diagram?
I need to draw, Chris. I think it's a good picture, actually. I think it transmits something there that is aligned with what has been happening. So I think it's good, actually.
Okay.
I like it.
Great. Okay. And then were there other sections that we need to cover?
On Noom, there was a couple of minor typos and wording. But in terms of OOM, I just took stuff literally off the wiki, which was the kind of diagram below, which is it's visual, it's good. I thought it was just get some visual thing in there, and then it gives a kind of more detailed account of the operations within without being going into too scary a detail. So that might be something to consider. I'm not sure if the other guys had that in there, but again, it's just padding it out a little bit so that it's balanced up with the other sections. That was that one. And then at the bottom was the closed loop diagram that we talked about. So Chris, I was hawking this diagram, I think the last time around, last year as well. And it was 11th hour. But again, for some reason, I just don't like the other diagram. I think it sells us short. It's visually doesn't. So all I've done is I've taken the same data, put it into a more DevOps style loop, which still says the same information.
Okay. What do people think about this one?
Looks better.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Good. I can send you the source PowerPoints and stuff on to Lisa as well for the final editing if that helps.
Perfect.
Other than that, there was just I can't remember the actual other text edits, but they were the three main things, Chris. Actually, if you go to the orchestration section, maybe again.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah,
Kevin. The yellow circles are not really that clear. You may want to change the colors.
The colors, sure. Okay, I can line them up with Linux Foundation colors. Sure.
Okay.
It's very hard to visualize.
And again, the other changes were just these little extra. I still think the external APIs didn't get the attention it deserved, So I tried to sign in here.
Hello.
Kind of aspirational, but
hello.
But not totally inaccurate either. So it's about what it's going to be. It exposes it.
Ron, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, so that's so basically, again, they're just fairly straightforward one-liners on music and on external API. I think that's it, Chris. That was it.
Okay, thank you. Lisa and I will do the copy editing offline. We don't have a lot of time on that, but I really appreciate everybody's comments, and I think we went through the bulk of them on this call. So we'll stitch something together based on this and based on the changes that were recommended here. I think that's going to make a good document by tomorrow, by the deadline. So thank you all, and I really appreciate the detailed reviews over the weekend and then today on the call. With that, we are at the top of the hour, so I'm going to break, and we'll resume next week. We have several projects coming in to talk about changes for Casablanca, a few new project proposals, and then also the edge automation. Thank you all.
Cheers, Chris.
Bye.
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 Thank you.
Bye. Bye.